How's everybody doing tonight? Y'all doing good? All right, all right. If you have a Bible, let's see your Bible tonight. Word, word. And let's see your pen. Pen, pen. All right, all right. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And welcome you to the Rock if you're a visitor. Welcome. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor, and glad to have you. Anybody here from out of town? Raise your hand. Where are you from, sir? I'm sorry? Cincinnati, Ohio. I think I know who you are. Anybody else out of town? Where are you from? UCLA. That's what, you grew up at UCLA? You're a student? And what do you study there? Theater. Do you want to be a theater person, actress in the movies? No soaps. Well, the safe soaps? What is that? Like Ivory and what's the only safe soap I know? Oh, they have saved soaps? Oh, to save the soul. Well, okay. I'll pray for you. Someone back there, raise your hand. Where are you from? Wyoming. Horses, right? Isn't that the Wyoming, isn't the football team, the school there, the horses or Colts, or what, Mustangs? What's it called? Uh-huh. The Bronx? Anybody else here from out of town? Yes, man, look at all these people over here. Yes, where are you from, sir, in the black? Houston, Texas. We got your weather, hot and humid. How about you against the wall? Pasadena, California. Yes, ma'am. Baltimore. How about you? Denver. Wisconsin. Kansas City. Kansas City. Tulsa, Oklahoma. San Diego. He doesn't want to look up because he knows, yeah, I just kind of, it wasn't that funny, huh? That's all right. There's always one in the crowd. Now there's two, me and you, okay? Yes, where are you from? Germany. And the guy next to you? Oh, no, okay. I thought you had your hand up. Who else? Yes. Where? Venezuela. How you doing? I talked to you a couple weeks ago at the hotel, right? Yeah, you and your guy friend over there. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Russia. What language do you speak? Sorry. Does Russia only have one language? So that's kind of what I was asking. I mean, is it Slavokovic or what is it? What's the name of your language? Are there a lot of languages in Russia? Okay, I'm trying to back up here. Let's start this over again. In the one that you speak, does it have a name other than Russian? Okay. You speak two languages? Russian and English. Very good. I had to get something right in that conversation. Anybody else from out of town? Yes. Fresno. What do they speak in Fresno? And someone down here? Sacramento. Okay, anybody else? Yes. Anchorage, Alaska. I went there twice. It was light. It was dark until 10 o'clock in the morning. Does it stay light like 24 hours sometimes? Okay. One other person, the man in the back. Yes, sir. Little Rock. I've been to Little Rock before. Okay. I grew up in New York, and one of my friends from when I was a kid called me the other day and said he's moving to San Diego, which was a big blessing because he was one of my, you know, I've known him for 30 years. And real nice guy. And I said, where are you moving to? He said, oh, I'm moving to a little town called Rancho Santa Fe, building a house up there. I was like, brother, man, what'd you do since high school, you know? But he's moving to Rancho Santa Fe. He's building a nice house up there. And we started talking. And actually, I said, when are you coming? He says, they're packing the truck right now. This was like the other day. So he'll be here Wednesday. And what we were talking about, we were talking about all the friends that we grew up with and what they're doing now. Because I don't really see a lot of my friends because you just don't. You know, you get older. How many people in here are in high school? Raise your hand. How many people here in college? Raise your hand. Man. So a couple years, y'all going to be graduating and get some good jobs. Amen. Well, I was talking to him about what are you going to do? What's so-and-so doing? What's so-and-so doing? This person's dead. This person's married. This person's, you know, blah, 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 blah. And every time we brought up somebody's name, we could basically come up with one or two things that we could remember about them. When you die, people are going to remember your name maybe, and they're going to remember maybe one thing about you. And what would you like that thing to be? What would you like that thing to be? When I say the name Stephen in the Bible, what's the one thing that comes to your mind? Someone raise your hand. What is it? He was stoned to death. He was the first Christian martyr, the first guy in the Bible that we know about that was killed because of his faith. What a reputation. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Acts 7:54. It says in verse 54, Stephen was martyred, and the reason he was martyred is because he preached the gospel to these Jews who didn't want to hear it. And so he took him from Abraham to Jesus to explain that Jesus Christ was a Savior. And the Bible says in verse 54, after they heard all that, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. They went, argh. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. They put their hands over their ears, ran at him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Now, you heard me talk many times about when you stone somebody, you could take the biggest rock you can pick up and throw it on him. It wasn't just little rocks in your hand. The biggest rock you could pick up and throw it on him and crush his bones. So they took him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Everybody say Saul. In the weeks to come, we're going to see that this Saul is actually the Apostle Paul. Before he was saved, he killed Christians. Verse 60. Then he knelt down, Stephen, and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is who Stephen is. Now, when you die, wouldn't you love to have the reputation and people to, in their mind, think that guy or that girl laid down their life for the gospel? Not they went to church. Not they could quote scripture, which is all good. Not that they were saved or that they got baptized or they had a Bible study or even that you were a pastor, but that you laid down your life, because you could do all those other things without laying down your life for Christ. You could do all, you could know the Bible inside out and not even be saved. You could have a church and not even be saved. But this guy laid down his life. Keep your finger here and turn back to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So it's only three books before you're at. Don't go all the way back to the beginning. Mark chapter 8, verse 34.
Preach it, brother. That brother got an anointment.
All I'm going to be speaking in L.A. tomorrow night. I'm going to run out of here after because I got to drive up there tonight. And I hate going to L.A. And I have to speak with Kirk Franklin. He's going to sing right before I speak. I never met him before, so. But in one of his songs, he has these people come to him, these old people, and they're old school gospel, and they hate his music. And I don't know if you ever heard a song, but they go, "Hey, this is Kirk Franklin, Kirk Franklin." And they you know, he's definitely, if you're from the old school gospel, you don't like, well, I shouldn't say if you're from, but his ministry, his music is so contemporary. And they're like, Kirk, you got a real anointment. Now the word is anointing. Anointment is something you put on your, you know, an ointment. So they go, "You got a real anointment." So a lot of y'all didn't get that, but that's what it was. It's kind of just ignorance. But anyway, anybody want me to give a message for you? Just, you know, pray. But it says in verse 34, Jesus says, "When he had called the people to himself, and with his disciples also, he said, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels.'" You know what Jesus says? If you really want to live and be fulfilled, and if you want to make a reputation for yourself, which is really not, shouldn't be your motivation, but if you want to maximize your life, lay down your life. If you want to be smart, be dumb. If you want to see, be blind. If you want to hear, be deaf. What does that mean? To surrender everything to God. Don't try to see things and figure it out for yourself. Say, "God, you show me." Don't try to listen and figure things out. "God, you speak to me." Don't try to do things on your own. Lay your life down and let God do them. So that's what Stephen did. Stephen did that to the point that he was literally, when he died, he says, "No problem. I have nothing to hold on to. It's okay. I could die because I'm dying for him." And he says, don't hold this against them. In other words, "God, give him another chance to be saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven." So he went to heaven. And so Stephen was a martyr. But the question today is, who was Stephen? What did he do? Was he a pastor? No. Was he an evangelist by trade? No. What, did he have a church? Did he have a ministry? Was he a missionary? No. You know what he was? He was a waiter. How many people here work in a restaurant? Raise your hand. You're a waiter before. My brother was a waiter. My brother is the funniest person I know. And this waiter, one time he was in a waiting for a bus. No, he was waiting. He was being a waiter. Y'all are slow tonight, okay? And someone grabbed him and called him Jose. Now, my brother's name is not Jose. And he took his name tag and he put it in the guy's face and said, "My name is Mark." Now, my brother's a boxer. He'll knock you out. I mean, just like that. But he would never hit anybody. But he said, "My name is not." And so the guy was just real nasty to him because he just dogged him out because he's a waiter. So this guy said, "Listen, my soup isn't hot. Make my soup hot." And he's just yelling at my brother. My brother says, "You want your soup hot?" He says, yeah. Okay. So he put it in the microwave at the restaurant, and the bowl was glowing. Woo. He heated that thing up like nitro, like nuclear soup. It was just, wow. So he waited till the bowl stopped glowing. It was still like 9,000 degrees. And he brought it to the guy, and the guy grabbed it, and his hand went, tss. That's a waiter right there. Stephen. Was a waiter. He was a waiter. But let me tell you something about him. Even though he was a waiter, he was a man of God. No matter where you work, no matter where you go to school, no matter what you do, you are still required and have the opportunity to be totally filled with God's power and totally do God's work to the point where you could be a powerful minister or ministerette, whatever it is you do. So look at verse 1 of chapter 7 of Acts, chapter 6, I'm sorry, verse 1 of chapter 6. Let's look at who this guy was. It says in verse 1, chapter 6, "In those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, here's what happened. This is when the church first started. The Acts of the Holy Spirit, when the first church first started. And all the people bringing their money, their possessions to the apostles, and their food, and they were distributing all the food to the poor people. But the Hellenists, everyone say Hellenist. Say Helen. Say Ist. Say Hellenist. The Hellenists were the Greek-speaking Jews. And so what the Greek-speaking Jews were saying, you're giving all the food and the service to the Hebrew widows, but the Greek-speaking widows, somehow, they're not getting their share. Whether you're discriminating, we don't know what it is, but basically we got a problem. You got all these people, and no one's helping these women. And so they says, we need some help. Now, it's when I was standing back there just now, I was talking to Larry, who does the announcements. And I go, this is an amazing church. Y'all are amazing. And I say, man, this was an amazing church if this is all the people we had. And he goes, but it's not. Because we have, obviously, you know, two other services. But you know what? If we had all these people and it went on forever and no one did any ministry, we wouldn't be an amazing church. We'd just a crowd of people. And it'd be my worst nightmare is that this church would be just known as a big crowd of people and not people who want to help people. That people could come to this church and get help, and that when there was a need in the community, we could help. That's the goal of this church. Amen? That's the goal of this church. And so what happens is they say, look, you got all those disciples, but you're not helping our women. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And let me tell you something. If God has called you, which he has in his word, to serve, and you call this your church, and you're unwilling, your unwillingness to serve is preventing people from getting help. Your unwillingness to serve is preventing people from getting saved because you're not enabling us to facilitate ministry faster. That's the truth. If that makes you feel guilty, good. You just say, listen, I need to get out of the way. I need to get out of the way and do something. And so what happens is he says, listen, you got all these disciples over here, but you're not doing the work right. And so what they did is they said, listen, let's get seven guys and we're going to put them in the ministry. And here's what their ministry is going to be. They're going to feed the widows. That's it. They're going to feed the widows. And you may think, well, I don't want to usher because I want to be up front. I don't want to be in the parking lot. I don't want to be up front. Or I want to preach. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you do. You still got a mouth and you still have an opportunity to preach to anybody. You have an opportunity to preach to anybody. Stephen, the guy that was the first martyr, was a waiter and he served tables. Look what it says in verse 3. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Let me tell you something. The more administration work I do, the more stressed I get. That is not what I'm supposed to spend my time doing. I'm supposed to spend as much time as I can reading this book and praying. That's what I'm supposed to do. And leading and casting vision. These guys says, listen, we're not going to go wait on tables. We have to spend time in prayer. We have to spend time in the word. And that is biblical. Everybody has to know their place and do their job. And so what they said was in verse 3, "Therefore, let us seek out from among you seven men." Everybody say good reputation. Say good reputation. Say full of Holy Spirit. A little louder. Say full of the Holy Spirit. Everybody sit up straight. Clear your throat. me. Don't fall asleep on me. Say, good reputation. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is my 7th sermon since yesterday morning, okay? Or 7th hour of speaking. So if I got energy, y'all got to have energy. Amen? Okay, say, good reputation. Full of the Holy Spirit. And wisdom. Full of faith. Say amen. I want to keep going. First thing he said, good reputation. Do you have a good reputation? There was a guy, thank you very much, very good. There was a guy, married man, took his woman when he wanted to go out to the, you know, spend a little evening with his woman. So he stopped by, get some chicken before he went. Some Popeyes. Not Kentucky Fried, Popeyes. Popeyes is good chicken, you know what I'm saying? So he got a big, big bucket of 23-piece, half spicy, half mild. Got a little couple of biscuits, some rice and beans. If you've never been to Popeyes, you got to go to some good stuff, right? So he sits down in the booth, and he's with his woman, you know, kind of, you know, and they say, sir, your chicken's ready. So he came on, get the bucket, got in the car, drove down to the Cove or La Jolla Shores, anywhere. You make it up. It's not true anyway. So he drives down. He drives down to the beach. I got to be truthful, you know what I'm saying? He drives down to the beach. He's in the car, you know, kissing his woman. And then he gets a little hungry, and he opens up his box of chicken. But instead of being chicken, it was $23,000. It was a night deposit from Popeyes. So he, man, got $23,000. Now, if it was you, what would you do? Keep it. How many of y'all would keep it? Look at you, bad Samaritans. He says, I got to take it back. So he drives back to the store and says, look, man, I'll ask for some chicken. You gave me $23,000. Can you take your money back and give me my chicken? And the guy's like, his eyes are like, you're an honest dude. What's up with you? Why are you bringing this chicken back? I mean, this money back. He says, because I'm hungry. Take the money, give my chicken. He goes, man, we got to call the news. People need to know that there's honest people still in this San Diego. I'm going to call Carol LeBeau. I'm going to call John Kalia. I'm going to call Kimberly Hunt. I'm going to call on. He says, no, look, I don't want any publicity. I just want my chicken. He goes, man, you're humble too. Man, people really need to see you. I'm going to call the radio. I'm going to call. He says, he grabs the dude and says, look, man, I don't want you calling CNN. I don't want you calling nobody. I want my chicken. Take your money. He says, why are you tripping? He says, look, man, you're a married man. You got your wife in the car. He said, that's a problem. That's not my wife. My wife thinks I'm at work. See, you can look good on the outside, and you can look good to some people, but what do you really, really like? When I first started ministry, it was with kids in Rancho Payne, Skeetos. PQ in the house. PQ. It was a neighborhood. There's a lot of Filipinos in my neighborhood, and I never seen a Filipino person in my life. And I had no clue of what nationality they were. So every day I look out the window because they would stand in front of my house, drink beer, and throw it on my lawn. Just this group of kids, not all Filipino kids, just this group of kids. And so every day I was like, you know, what's up with them kids? So I went out there, I said, yo, y'all, what are y'all? And they go, we Filipino, man. They were the coolest kids, I'm telling you. And this was in 1985. I'm still friends with these same kids. They're now 30 years old. And so I witnessed to them. One of them got saved. Two got saved. Next thing I know, I had a whole house full of kids. And that's how I started ministry, was just with these kids. So we had these four girls that came over. And one was Filipino, one was Japanese, one was Chinese, and the other one was a mixture of the other three. They all had black hair, olive skin, and three of them would come with pumps on, stretched spandex, hairspray, pow, makeup, wham, lipstick all up in their nose like Bozo. They didn't know what they were doing. You know, they're still learning. And they would come to the house like this. They couldn't touch their lips because they was glossy. It was so funny. I'm sitting there. I'm like, yo, y'all, Bible study. Bible, not the club. And they come there and they sit there, you know, like this. And so you had three girls like that. You had Larry, Mo, and Curly. And then you had Diane. And Diane was modestly dressed. You know, these other girls' skirts came up to here, down to here. You know, Diane had, you know, modest dress, modest makeup, boom, boom. And I perceived and discerned that she was different. So I went and started asking the kids in the neighborhood about her. I wanted to know what her reputation was. And I didn't ask the Christian kids because the Christian kids would have told me what I wanted to hear. I wouldn't ask the non-Christian kids. And what I mean by that is that the Christian kids would have, you know, oh, yeah, she's good, you know, because we don't want you to know the dirt on her. So I went to the non-Christian kids who didn't care. And they said, oh, no, she's a good girl. I said, what do you mean? They said, she don't mess around. She's a good girl. Here it is 13 years later. I'm still in communication with her. Diane, she lives up in Northern California, and she's still a friend of our family. But you know what? Her reputation was solid with the Christians, and the non-Christians. Why? Because she was legit. She was legit. If I was to go to your school and your job and ask about you, what would they say? Oh, yeah, they go to that church, Stone Rock, something like that. You know, but I know the name of the church. I was just joking. You know, but they go to that church, you know, with that guy with that yells all the time. But on Friday night, Saturday night, and I know why she goes to church on Sunday. Is that your reputation? You know what? You're going to serve God? You got to have a good reputation. Someone came to me yesterday and blessed me so much. They told me gossip about me. I was so happy. And they said, you know, I have a friend of mine who's a pastor. He's been talking about you to his, you know, and gossiping. I was like, what'd he say? He said that there's a term in church growth called seeker sensitive, which is where you are sensitive to non-believers and you try to do everything you can to get them saved. And some people take it real far, but they don't read the Bible. They don't have a Bible because they don't want to threaten anybody. They don't have altar calls, and they don't even use they just water it down and make it real, you know, topical, but they don't use the word. And so they said, well, you're seeker sensitive and you're trying to get everybody saved. I was like, that's it? Yes! That's it? That's the dirt? I could give you better dirt than that. You should have come to me. What is your dirt? They said, we need people who have a good reputation. If you're a Christian, you should have a good reputation. At worst, they should call you a Bible thumper or a Jesus freak or something like that. But not a liar. Not someone who's a gossip or sexually promiscuous. None of that. That's not part of your reputation. A good reputation. Look what it says after that. Full of the Holy Spirit. Not full of yourself. Can I get an amen? Amen. Full of the Holy Ghost. Man, that person, man, they got something. Why they strange? They lift their hands. They just know stuff. They're always talking about Jesus and praying and, ooh, hey, let that be your reputation. You're full of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says after that. Full of wisdom. Now, a lot of y'all going to college, you're getting knowledge. Let me tell you something. You can get all the knowledge you want. Wisdom is the right use of that knowledge. And that only comes from God. In other words, you can have all the facts, but if you don't know when to use this fact versus when to use this fact, you're not wise. There's a verse in the Bible, in Proverbs, there's two verses. They're totally opposite each other, and they tell you to do totally opposite things. One says, if a fool is talking to you and saying foolishness, it says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. In other words, if someone's saying nonsense, correct them, lest they think they're right. But the very next verse says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Well, which one do you pick? God to tell you. That's wisdom. Sometimes you need to look at people and go, and walk away. Other times you look at these people and say, you're wrong. You are wrong. And here's why. Boom, 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 boom. That's wisdom. Well, he says, listen, if you're going to serve, if you're going to be an usher, a greeter, not just any Joe, you should be a person with a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. And look what it says in verse 3, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Guess what else he had? Full of faith. That means everywhere he went, if God said do it, he had so much faith that he said, no problem, no problem. Say this, no problem. Pray for this person, no problem. Whatever God said, he did it because he was full of faith. He had more faith that there was nothing. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith because everything God calls you to do is going to require you to trust him. So the Bible says this guy was full of faith that everything God asked him to do, he had enough faith to please God. You can't please God with your education unless you have faith. You can't please God with your voice unless you have faith. You can't please God with your intelligence, your athletic ability, with nothing unless you have faith. Why? Because Pleasing God is doing something in the supernatural, and that requires faith in him where he can empower you and use you. Just because you show up and you look good, what does that mean? Now you could say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to jump off this bridge, not physically, but this situation bridge. I want you to kill that Goliath, not physically, not literally, but overcome that obstacle. And the only way you can do it is by faith. I'm going to give y'all something to pray about. Pray that we can get a building. And the only reason I say that, I'm not anxious for a building. This is fine for now. We're still young. But you know what? These opportunities and people come into my life saying, here's a building here. Oh, you should get a building, da 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 da. And I'm saying, okay, well, let's pray and see what God happens. So I called this one guy, and he says, Miles, here's what we can do. Boom, 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 boom. But if it happens, it's going to be something so supernatural. And I said, that's fine with me, because I don't want to force it, and I don't want to figure it out. Let God just plop it. But you know what? If we're praying, God, hook us up. Hook us up. We need 1,200 parking spaces and 50,000 square feet. That's, pray for that. And all of a sudden, something's going to go, boop, 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 boop. I was at a Naval Training Center yesterday, where they're going to tear it all up. They got parking lots there as big as Mira Mesa. I mean, gigantic. I'm like, yeah, give me something out here. But you know what? If it's going to happen, it is not going to be me. It's not going to be you. It's going to be God. And you know what God's going to say? This is going to require your faith, son. It's going to require your faith. Stephen had full of faith. If you are full of faith, God can do anything with you. Anything. Anything. You know the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth looking to show himself strong on behalf of someone who's loyal. That means if God could find someone who's loyal, he would go boom for them. Boom. So look what it says in verse 7. After they picked Stephen and the other six guys, it says, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests were obedient to the faith. When you guys leave here, I want you to look at all the dorms out here in San Diego State Campus. And I don't know how many dorms we're going to be finding out very shortly. We need to have Bible studies in all of these dorms in September. Because we're going to do a series here in the fall on prophecy. And we're going to blitz this campus. But when these kids come and get saved, we got to send them back to Bible studies. Who's going to do the Bible studies? Y'all. So y'all need to be praying. I want to do one. I want to do one. There should be no reason we can't have 30 Bible studies on this campus. Just from y'all in this room. Or whatever campus you go to. We should have them on every campus in this city down in, at least in this area. From all of y'all. But you're going to have faith. Is God calling me? Let's go. Well, we're going to sit around and just wait. Hopefully they come. And hopefully Miles gets some faith. We'll just watch Miles do it all. Ain't going to happen. When people get involved, look what it says in verse 7. The word of God spreads out all throughout the community. Why? Because everybody's doing the work of the ministry. Turn back to Exodus chapter 18, second book in the whole Bible. Leave your finger here. We're coming back. Exodus 18. Let me read something to you real quick. Exodus 18. Exodus chapter 18 is right after Exodus chapter 17. Just for the mathematically challenged. Exodus 18 verse 14, here's what's going on. Moses, there were 2.5 or so million Jews in bondage, in slavery in Egypt. Moses comes, delivers them with a mighty hand, miracles, wonders, signs, and miracles, and he takes them through the wilderness. And he, at night, or when they settle down in the camp, he sits all day counseling everybody. All day. Mr. Moses, he goes, yes, yes, all day long. His father-in-law is watching him, and his father-in-law is saying, you are crazy. You got to change something. So look what it says in verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? Moses said this fall in love because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known to the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father said, this thing is not good. Now, you may say, well, why? That's Moses. He's supposed to do that. No, this thing is not good. No one person or small group of people should ever do all the work. In most churches and organizations, especially churches where it's volunteer driven, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 20% of the people do 80% of the praying, giving, and serving. Shouldn't be that way. And so he says, Moses, this is not good. Look what it says in verse 18. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you, and you are not able to perform it by yourself. That's my wife tells me every day. And believe me, I don't want to perform it by myself. But like I said, I was in North Carolina on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I came back and spoke 4 hours yesterday and another 3 today. And I got to go to L.A. and do it again tomorrow. She's like, you're going to die. You're going to die. And I'm like, I know, I'm trying to slow down. I'm trying to slow down. You know what it says here? It's not good. Look what it says. And then if I have to come back and do administration, and if I got to come back and usher, if I got to come back and do, it won't work. Verse 19. Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God. Everybody say, stand before God. If you ever can pray anything for me, pray that I can do that day and night. Stand before God. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them the statutes and laws, and show them the way which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select, and listen to this, this is where you come in. You shall select, everybody say, able men. Amen. Say, able women. Amen. All the ladies in the house go, hey. Now listen. This is a powerful hey coming from up here in the front here. We have 40 small groups starting in a week or two, and there's a whole bunch of them are led by women. We got lady small groups. We got lady coaches over the small group. I like that. Moreover, verse 21, you shall select from all the people able men and women, such as, everyone say, fear God. Say, men of truth, hating covetousness. And then it says, place such over them to be rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge, so it will be easier for you, for they will be bear the burden with you. Verse 23, my last verse. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And watch this. All the people will be able to go to their place in peace. If you belong to a small group and you have a small group leader, facilitator, or a mentor or someone discipling you, when you have a question, you go to them. Bam. If they don't understand it, they can go to somebody else. But you have instant access to information, instant access to prayer. We talked about, and I'll say it again, in our small groups, everybody in the small group is going to have a prayer partner, someone they're praying with and someone praying for them every day. It's your prayer partner. You're also going to have someone who's non-Christian that you're going to be praying for to get saved. We're going to do ministry. If you're in a small group, guess what? You're going to go home in peace. You're going to be able to get an answer. Bam. Bam. Right now. Bam, bam, bam. That's what he says. You do this thing. You got people over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And the rock choir groups are the tens. Boom, 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 boom. Our goal is 600 in 5 years to have 600. Imagine 6,000 people in small groups praying for each other and praying for someone to be saved. Imagine that. That's where we're going. And so turn back to Acts. Turn back to Acts. It says, the word of God, verse 7, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8, chapter 6, verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs. Did great wonders and signs. He was feeding old ladies. What kind of signs was he doing? This brother was feeding old ladies, and yet he had great wonders and signs. There was a man who went to see his grandmother in a convalescent home. This story is also not true. And he hadn't seen his grandma in years. She was like 113 years old. She had no teeth. And she would just sit there and just gum all day. And he was nervous because he hadn't seen. He felt guilty. He's like, how you doing, Grandma? And he's like, yeah, I haven't seen you in a long time. And the whole time he's sitting there, there's a little bowl of peanuts next to her seat. And he's just eating out of nerves, just eating all these peanuts. And she's, how you doing, baby? Hi, Grandma, I just miss you so much. Oh, that's okay. And she's talking, and she's, you know, gum, just no teeth. Look at my gums, honey. He realized he eats all the peanuts. He feels guilty. Oh, Grandma, I'm so sorry. I haven't seen you so long, and I ate all your peanuts. I'm so sorry. Oh, that's okay, baby. I don't eat those peanuts. I just suck the chocolate off the top. I just roll them around in my gums till they get soft, and I spit them back out. Verse 8. Stephen, as he was serving the old ladies in the convalescent home, he was full of faith, never ate the peanuts. And he had power. Turn back to Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Watch this. Acts 1:8, look at verse 8. You shall receive power. What was the Greek word for power? Dunamis, very good. Say dunamis. Everyone say booyah. It says right there, you shall receive booyah when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And why? So you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the end of the earth. Turn back to Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Look, Stephen full of faith and what? Booyah. He had what? Booyah. And he did great wonders and signs. He was a waiter. He was a waiter. He was a waiter. Why can't you be this kind of waiter? You can. Study the Bible. Pray. Be faithful. Simple as that. When Jehovah's Witness come to your house, look what it says in verse 9. Watch, Jehovah's Witness came. There arose some from what is called the synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen. They try to argue with him. They try to debate with him. And look what it says. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. My man had knowledge. He had wisdom. He had the Holy Spirit. He had faith. And when they would come and say, what about this? What about this? He was like, bow, 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 bow. Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door. Mormons come to your door. The Moonies, the Starries, the Sunnies come to your door. Y'all are slow tonight. It must be the heat. Moon, star, sun, get it? Whatever. When they come to your door, instead of looking through the hole and tell them to come back later, you should be able to look. Have wisdom and faith. And the Bible says that they should not be able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which you spoke. That which you speak. That the word of God is like, and they're like, wow. And next time, well, the Bible says this. No, it says this. Wham! Well, the Book of Mormon says this. No, the Bible says this. Wham! And the Watchtower Society and the thing says this. Wham! 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 And they go away like this. Man, we ain't never coming back to that dude's house no more. That got to be you. That should be you. This guy was a waiter. And they said, look, we can't resist him. He's just too overpowering. So look what it says in verse 11. They secretly induced men to say, we heard him speak lies against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him to the council. And they also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak lies against this holy place in the law. For we heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the place and change the customs of Moses. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him and saw his face as an angel. They're making up all this stuff. And he's not going, no, that's not true. No, that's not true. No, that's not true. He's sitting there chilling. Like an angel. I don't know what an angel face looks like. I don't. So just to say he was going, woo, woo. He had a little grin on his face because angels are never sad. His back was, wings were, I don't know. But they said, here's what they're doing. They're lying on him, accusing him, and they go, look at his face. Look at his face. And he's like, you know why? He didn't care. He didn't care. He knew that him and God were like that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they want to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. All they had to do to save their life was do this. That's all they had to do. If they didn't do this, they would get thrown in fire and be burned out. That's all they had to do. And many of us, we bow. We get high, we curse, we hang out and do what everybody else is doing because we don't want to be left out. No fire involved, just a little gossip, just losing a couple of friends. No fire. But no, we just bow every day. Okay, Satan, you're right. Okay, MTV, okay, whatever you say, I'll do. These guys had fire, flames, and they wouldn't as much do this. Me, I hope that I wouldn't do that, but I might be dropping a quarter and just kind of, okay, I'm just picking it up. Coughing. You know, just scratch my leg. I don't want to go in that fire. You know what they told Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar, you could throw us in the fire. We ain't bowing. And even if we die, we ain't going to bow. You got to have that kind of commitment that no matter what happens to you, no matter what's threatened to you, don't matter. His face was like an angel because he knew he was going to heaven. And I read in the beginning of the night that when he was killed, he looked up and what did he see? Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. He wasn't stopping the stoning. God was watching. He could have stopped them stoning. He said, no, I want him to come here now. Before you die, Steve, tell him you see me. Tell him that you want me to forgive him. And he says, God, forgive him. Here I come. And Jesus sat there and said, come on. Your time is up. They're going to write about you in the Bible, by the way. They're going to talk about you. That's cool. That's all right. What are people saying about you? Here's your homework. Get out your bulletin, if you will, and your pen. Here's your homework. If you have a bulletin, there's a little space called stonework, and that's homework. You write down your homework. Your homework is, question number one, how do you want to be, what's the last word? Remembered. Seen, remembered. Yes, very good. You're paying attention. Booyah. That's how you want to be. I don't have booyah. How do you want to be remembered? And then the next question is, what do you need to do to get there? What do you need to do to get there? What do you need? What do you need to do to get there? There, D-A-R-E. Do you want to be known as a man of God? Do you want to be known as a woman of God? Do you want to be known as a lukewarm Christian? You might want to ask yourself, how are you viewed now? Oh, no, I'm just kind of preaching now. Kind of elaborating on it. She asked me, do we have to write down all those questions too? You can. I mean, you get the tape and you can get the CD and listen to it. My question is, how do people look at you now? Because you may think, you know, I think I'm pretty godly. Why don't you start asking your friends? Why don't you start asking people, how do you view me? When I first came here from New York, I was really New Yorker, New Yorkin, like just really blunt. I'm not really that blunt compared to how I used to be. And this lady says to me, do you have any idea how you are perceived? And I was like, no, I'm pretty normal, no? She said, no. And she broke it down. And I said, really? Is that how I come off? She says, yeah. I was like, man, okay. You might want to ask, am I a godly person? Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I loving? Am I forgiving? You might want to ask and compare it to where you want to go and then write down what you got to do to get there. Amen? Next week, where are we going to be? Here. Let's pray. God bless you. And have a good week. We're going to have the band come up and play, sing a song. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your love for us. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, for being God. Thank you for being God. Thank you that you know everything about us. You know exactly how we are and what we need to do to change. And I pray that this week these people would sincerely pray about that and pray about the changes that they need to make in their life to become the person that you want them to be. May they write down what you want them to be, not what they want to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Booyah.